Our hymn is number 236, Creator Spirit, by whose aid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord filleth the world. Hallelujah. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, one God, world without end. Amen. The lesson for Pentecost is written in the prophet Joel, chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Here endeth the lesson. The epistle is written in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. Here endeth the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Hallelujah. 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 The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said unto you, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn is number 233. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed.
Protecting God, no evil.
steps be tied. Make thou to us the Father known. Teach us the eternal Son to own, and thee whose name we ever bless, of both the Spirit to confess. Praise we the Father and the Son, and Holy Spirit with them one, and may the Son on us bestow the gifts that from the Spirit flow. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our epistle text for today, we have a description of the event of the coming of the Holy Ghost in fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament and also in fulfillment of the promise of Jesus. In the past few weeks, we've been paying a lot of attention to John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And one of the chief themes in those three chapters of the Gospel of John is that Jesus returning to his Father, sitting at the right hand of God, will send the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he will shed forth on believers, the Holy Christian Church, the gifts that we so desperately need in order to have faith in Christ and to remain faithful to the Lord and to understand the treasures that God gives to us. And so, the fulfillment of God's promise came upon the Christian disciples in a very public, visible, and dramatic way. And let's take a look at that. First of all, it says it happened on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was the festival that the Jews celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai in the desert. And so they celebrated this gift of the law. But here on the day of Pentecost, a new gift is given, a gift that supersedes the gift of the law, and it is the gift of the manifold grace of God in the person and work of the Holy Ghost. And so, when the day of Pentecost were fully come, all the disciples were together in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind. So there was a loud rushing wind sound that came upon the disciples. And this is important because in the Old Testament Hebrew, the word for spirit, ruach, is also the word for wind. And in the New Testament, in the Greek, the word for spirit is the same word for wind. It is the word pneuma, which means spirit in some contexts, and it means wind in other contexts. In our modern English, we have pneumatic tools that are wind-powered tools, all right? and we have pneumonia, and all of these things having to do with pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. But that word, so when it says that there was a rushing mighty wind, that wind was a supernatural sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The second part of this dramatic event was that there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. So there were the Christian disciples, and on each of their heads was a flame that was shining, and it was burning on top of their heads. But of course, they were not harmed by it. This was a manifestation of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So there was a sound manifestation, the wind. There was a sight manifestation, the flames of fire. And then it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, the Spirit of God filled each one of them, and the Spirit gave them the ability to speak in different languages than the languages that they had learned. And so they were speaking in languages that they did not know how to speak, but the Spirit was giving them utterance, and so they were speaking. And so we have a sound, a sight, and a voice. All right. And these three manifestations were the sign that the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel and the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus had now come to pass. Jesus told his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, do not begin your mission work until you have been endued with power from on high." And so he said, wait in Jerusalem until this happens to you. And what we are seeing here is it happening. So, and then it says that there was an audience for this. It says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So these Jews were from all over the Mediterranean world. And when this was noised abroad, this multitude from all over the world came together, and they were confounded because they heard every man speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How then do we hear every man in our own tongue speak wherein we were born?" And there's a list of the countries where these people came from. "How are these rubes from up in Galilee speaking in my native language from my home country?" And so it says they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" And others, mocking, said, "These men are full of new wine." Oh, don't pay any attention to this. These guys are drunk. All right? So this is the event which happened. All right? And it was manifold. Number one, the rushing mighty wind. Number two, the tongues of fire resting on each of them. And number three, the ability to speak in other language as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is the dramatic, external, public way that the Lord testified that His promise is fulfilled. And now you and I, We live in a time when the Spirit is given. We live in the age of the grace of God. We live in the time of the day of salvation, the day of grace, the day of the Holy Spirit. It began on the day of Pentecost, and we are the beneficiaries of it today, even though it is some 2,000 years later. So, it's important to notice that the event itself called for explanation. And here we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the Apostle Peter and in his hearers. Peter stands up, filled with the Holy Ghost. He stands up and he boldly says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And we read in our lesson this morning the prophecy of Joel. Joel said that in the last days that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and their sons and daughters would prophesy, the old men dream dreams, and servants and hands and handmaidens will receive the Spirit, and they will prophesy in those days. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This gift of the Holy Ghost poured out upon all flesh is a sign of the grace of God that is present through the name and work of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit leads Peter both to understand and to clearly proclaim is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in the coming of the Spirit. And Saint Peter, with the anointing of the Spirit, preaches the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Then, with the same boldness granted by the Spirit, he goes on to preach Jesus. And he says, the first thing he says about Jesus is that Jesus was a man approved by God through miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves well know. So he reminds his hearers of the miracles, signs, and wonders that showed and demonstrated that Jesus was approved by God. And he says to the people, "And you yourselves know this full well." He goes on to say, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." All right, so he preaches the law of God here, that sinners must realize their sin. And so by the power of the Spirit, Peter is given boldness to speak and to say that they were responsible for the crucifixion and death of Jesus. But he doesn't only say that. It's important to pay attention to the first part of the verse, verse 23, because it says that Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, all of this happened according to God's gracious plan of salvation. This was not an accident or a tragedy. It was a fulfillment. It was God's plan in action being fulfilled right smack down in the midst of human history. It is God's way of redeeming human beings from sin, death, and the power of the devil. This is what Jesus tried so often to share with the disciples, but every time he brought it up, it went in one ear and came out the other ear. And they were utterly mystified by what Jesus was saying when he warned them, "We're going to go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be rejected, and he will suffer and be killed, and on the third day rise again." Now, Peter, by the Spirit of God, he understands that this whole thing, as sad and trying as it was for him and his brothers, it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God in action for the redemption of the world. And how does he and we know this? Because in the next verse he says, "God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." All right? God raised Jesus from the dead. And that resurrection is God the Father testifying that his Son has redeemed sinful mankind by his suffering, his blood, his death and burial, and his resurrection from the dead. And in order to emphasize this, as also prophesied in the Old Testament, Peter says, David speaks concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope." Why? "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." All right? Then he says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. But being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." All right, so he's showing us that David, all right, in the Psalms, David prophesied of the resurrection of Christ. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." This Jesus God has raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye do now hear and see. All right, so by the power of the Spirit, Saint Peter is able to show not only the plan of God for the redemption of sinners, but also the resurrection of Jesus from the dead from the Old Testament. And he says, David has not ascended up into heavens, but he himself said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And then Peter comes by the gift and power of the Spirit to the end of his sermon. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So we see here one of the gifts and the graces of the Holy Ghost in the age of grace, is to be able to perceive, understand, and speak the wonderful works of God in Christ. Now, how did this crowd of people respond to this sermon? It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They were convinced. And they asked, what shall we do? Now, here, Peter, if he had been his old self, he could have resorted to a list of good works and good intentions. But he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all that are afar off. That's us. All right. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So Peter directs them to holy baptism, which Jesus Christ instituted. He said, baptize everyone in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter now takes these convicted, convinced men and points them to Christ's baptism, which is for the remission of sins. Now, I know that there are many people in our day and age who think that baptism is just some kind of symbolic ceremony that we do because it's kind of like a rite of passage, or it symbolizes on the outside some spiritual thing that's going on the inside. That's not biblical language. Bible language about baptism is that Jesus, through baptism, forgives us our sins. Jesus saves us through baptism. Notice, be baptized for the remission of your sins. And in this baptism, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is for everyone. Notice the universality of the gospel promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because Jesus died for all people, and the gospel is addressing all people with the offer and the gift of eternal salvation in Christ. And so Peter concludes by saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. All right. So Peter preaches the law and he preaches the gospel. And the result of this is that around 3,000 souls were baptized on that day and thereby made members of the Holy Christian Church. The first day of the preaching of the apostles, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. But not only that, as a gift of the Holy Spirit, but they also, by the Holy Spirit, all of these 3,000, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread, that's Holy Communion, and in prayers. So, the gift of the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles, and now there is this worldwide universal gift of the Spirit available to everyone in the gospel and in the sacraments. What does the Holy Spirit do? He calls us. He gathers us into the church. He enlightens us. He sanctifies us so that we continue steadfastly in the doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And he keeps us in this Christian faith. You know that you have the Spirit first because the Word of God says that you do. Secondly, you know that you have the Spirit because you would not believe in Jesus. You would not endeavor to be and remain a Christian. You would not take comfort in the gospel. All of this would remain rather vague to you and rather confusing. But because you have the Spirit, not only do you understand these things and believe them, but you rejoice in them, even though from time to time you must endure grievous tribulation. So take heart today. You and I are living in the day of grace, in the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And His Spirit is given to us in Christ and in word and in sacrament. He not only nurtures us and fills us with Himself, but He also strengthens us and keeps us in the faith. So rejoice in Christ that His promise has been fulfilled. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal, heavenly Father, who has poured out thy Holy Spirit upon thy church, that he may abide with it forever, preserving it in the true faith of the Holy Word, and enlightening it with the knowledge of Christ, grant unto us all such things as are necessary for our salvation. We thank thee, O God, that by thy Spirit we have been called to faith in Christ. We have been given power to believe your word. We have been gathered into the fellowship of the Holy Church. Sanctify us, that we, purged of our sins and unrighteousness, may be meet for the Master's use and prepared for every good work. To this end, help us, by the witness of thy Spirit, to know more deeply and truly the Holy Scriptures, that we may become increasingly wise unto salvation. And help us to continue in their teachings. Enable us to flee from the prince of this world, and to follow with all who serve thee in purity of heart the things that make for righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Kindle in us a fervent desire for all that is good, all that is holy, all that is true. Shed thy Spirit upon us, that we may love Jesus Christ our Savior with all our hearts and minds. Keep his words with a good conscience, and find in each day the blessed experience of his nearness and abiding presence. Let the sanctifying wisdom and power of the eternal Comforter descend upon thy church, that she may be strong in faith. Impart to thy church the sevenfold gifts of grace, that her elders may have bright hopes of the time when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea, and when her young men and maidens may be granted inward visions of the holy triumphs of the gospel. Stir up thy church, O Lord, and imbue it with zeal to seek the lost, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring comfort to the imprisoned, to heal the afflicted, and to cheer all that mourn. Give thy Spirit room in all of our homes, that he may lead every child who bears thy name into the paths of love and obedience, and endow every parent with an understanding heart and gentle ways, so that together the family may adorn the doctrine of our Savior with godliness and honor. Govern the nations upon the earth and help them to acknowledge thy power, dominion, and righteous judgment, so that they may turn from their evil ways and live. Give unto our land and all in authority firmness in the right and steadfastness in integrity, and be thou our shield and buckler. To all who are in trial or tribulation, the sick, the weary, the oppressed, the fearful, the needy, and the lonely, give the peace of Christ. Let their cry come unto thee, and grant them all things needful. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. 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 Son.